Week as we continued our study in Ephesians, I said that there are two things that as followers of Jesus Christ, if we could master these two things, I believe 90% of the problems that we have in our lives would disappear. And I said those two things were how to be married, and does anybody remember the second? How to raise children. Absolutely. And that's where we're heading tonight. We're going to continue our study. You'll know that last week, the passage was dealing with relationships in the home that God has designed. And we've been looking in chapter 6 of Ephesians, starting in verse 1. We went through chapter 3, and we looked at all these relationships inside the home. And we talked about children honoring their parents in that section of 1 through 3. And we also touched on verse 4, Ephesians 6, 4. And it said this: Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, this section, gang, what Paul is doing is dealing with parenting. And I said last week that this whole concept, the whole idea, the issue of child rearing and parenting is way too large to think that we could investigate it and really look at the whole thing in a 30-minute message. So we're bringing more of it in tonight, all right? You know that already we talked about shepherding children's hearts, getting children to understand why we do the things we do, why God calls us to do them so that they will engage God. We talked about shepherding a child's heart, and you can go back over the old messages on the website for that. We talked about last week how parents need to listen. We need to be good listeners when it comes to our children and listening to what's going on in their world and understanding them. And we're not going to go over that tonight. You can add those to the list. If you have your outline on your hand, you have 8 points tonight. I never use that many points, but we're going through 8 tonight. And if you add these two, we got a total of 10. Tonight, we've already done the exegesis. We've already done the biblical examination of the verse that I'm offering here, verse 4. And I want to continue offering very practical application on this command of Paul's, this command to discipline and instruct your children on how they should live. Remember, Paul's whole thought process and his whole goal in the book of Ephesians is to help God followers. He wants to offer them hope, and he wants to give them encouragement on how to follow God's design for life to the full. So we're going to be talking about a subject I really haven't talked about a whole lot in the 9.5 years I've been teaching here, and that is parenting. One quick disclaimer just before we start: I do not pretend to be a child-rearing expert, and I do not in a million years think that I got it right and you got it wrong. That is not the case. What I am offering tonight, though, are some of the skills, some of the practices that I learned from experts, practices that I learned in books that we read, practices that I've learned at conferences that Kelly and I have gone to around the country. This list that we're going to look at, and these 8 parenting skills, is not an exhaustive list either. It doesn't cover everything, but it's very wide, and it covers much. These are biblical principles, so you will see a scripture verse attached to each one. They are wise principles that I have listened to these, and I have tried desperately with all my might to apply these in my parenting. I'm teaching you what I was taught, and I hope that in some way this will help you. And I offer with the same motivation that Paul wrote Ephesians, with the idea of trying to help the Ephesians. Okay, enough said. Let's get into this. The verse from the message, Ephesians 6, 4, is this: Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. I love the way that's written in the message. First parenting skill, here we go. Model the behavior you want. You and I, gang, will raise what we are, not what we want to be. Everything we talk about in number 2 through number 8 through number 10,000 has to be taught through the skill of number 1, modeling the behavior we want. You, parent, and I must model the attitudes. We must model the actions. We must model the behaviors that you want in your children. You must live them out with conviction, and you must live them out in honesty in your life. Because your kids will become what you are, not what you dream they should be. I hear my kids using and stealing my jokes. I hear my kids repeating my axioms. They repeat my beliefs. They use my slang words. I modeled it, they became it. I see my kids deal with anger like I deal with anger. I see my kids value what I value. I see my kids dislike what I dislike, thinking things that are okay that I think are okay. I see my kids pray because I pray. I'm seeing my kids trust God because I trust God, and I see them serve God's purposes because I serve God's purposes. Westbridge, the good, the bad, and the ugly that we model will be absorbed and translated into our children. I believe modeling is the engine driving what God is saying in Exodus 34:7, when God said, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generations. Exodus 34:7 is written in the negative, talking about the bad, the ugly in our life, but the positive is just as true. The good that we model will be imitated and owned by our children. Then they model it for their children as well. Do as I say will not work as a parenting tool. It has to be changed to do as I do. I'll give you two examples in my life. I want my children to be responsible and own their lives. I want them to own what they've done, and I want them to own everything that they think and say and feel. So I am responsible in my own life. I don't blame my past on anyone. I don't blame my choices, good or bad, on anyone. I'm not a complainer, and I don't look at the speck of dust in someone else's eye. Rather, I look at the piece of dust in mine. I own my life. And because of this, my kids are learning to be responsible for their lives as well. I model it, and I see them absorbing it. Second, a little more practical here. Personally, I cannot stand alcoholic beverages. I loathe alcoholic beverages. My family was ravaged by alcoholism. I have pulled, as a fireman, too many injured people and drunk people from car accidents and cut them out with the jaws of life. So I do not want my kids to drink. I don't. So I don't drink. I guarantee you I will never lose my license for being over the 0.08 blood alcohol content level. Never going to happen. Never going to go over 0.000. I model it, and I pray that my kids will imitate it. Gang, whatever we want in our kids, we better be doing in our lives first. And if that means that we have to be the one that breaks the Exodus 34:7 chain of being handed down, if we have to be the ones that break the chain of unhealthy behaviors, I had to in my family. Let's have the courage to do it as parents. No excuses, as the men learned in their Bible study. That's our first parenting skill, and that one is overreaching over all the others. Second parenting skill. Introduce your children to the perfect parent, and that is God. You and I, gang, will never be perfect parents, but God the Father is the perfect parent. Teach your children that God is the ultimate mentor. He is the ultimate guide. He is the perfect provider, the ultimate sustainer, and the ever-present friend. When all else fails, when there's absolutely nothing and no one to turn to, whether I'm here or not, kids, God is there. And he is always wanting the best for you, even more than I can. One of the things that made last week so hard, when we talked about kabed, the idea of honoring parents, one of the things that made that hard is that there are people who have had parents that were not positive. They were not healthy parents. And what made it difficult was that God makes no provision. He makes no provision for not honoring them. But what God does do, the provision God does make, is that he is our Father. God says this to those whose pasts are colored with those kind of parents. Isaiah 46:4. Even when you are old, I will take care of you. Even when you have gray hair, I will carry you. I made you. And I will support you. I will carry you, and I will rescue you. We're not helping our children if we make them dependent on us, but we are giving them the ultimate help by teaching them to depend on God the Father. Now, with those two practices firmly in place in our parenting quiver, we can get even more specific in our parenting as we move on to number three. All right? Number three, teach them the art of possibility. Where do we get this? Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked on them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Gang, I grew up believing I couldn't do anything important. That's what I grew up thinking. I can't do anything important. I grew up believing that at the very best, I was average. I would never do anything significant, and that I was basically a have-not in this world. Now, my parents never taught me that. I just picked that up courtesy of Satan along the way. But then, later in life, I handed my life over to God. And with God as my guide, with God as my ultimate father, and with God as my mentor, I found out that I was not a have-not. I was a have. Instead of believing people when they said I couldn't do something, I believed I could. With God's help and a lot of hard work, I believed anything was possible. Sometimes along the way, I forgot those kind of things. And even my own kids, who I'm trying to instill this in, they taught me the art of possibility. I remember when baby Katie was little and she went through the Phillipsburg Mall. And one of the things that was big when Katie was a little girl was the American Girl dolls. And they had just come out with a new doll called Kaya. Kaya, right? And they had that sitting prominently in the Hallmark window. And there was a raffle. You fill out tickets to get it. And Katie came home. I had been to the firehouse. She said, "Dad, I'm going to win that thing. I'm going to win it. I put a couple of those things in there, more than one." I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." I said, "Katie, let me just help you out here because I want you to break your heart. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. It happens, you know, somebody, I think the owner of the store, is his daughter's going to win. But you're probably not going to win." Until a couple weeks later, I got the phone call from Katie. "I won! I got it!" And we got Kaya to this day in her room. Right, Katie Bug? The art of possibility. I had blown it, but I'm learning along the way. When Katie ran for class president, I'm not trying to talk my kids up, but that's where I get my stories from. I apologize. I'm not trying to make them seem anything wonderful, but I'll talk about your kids too if you give me good stories. Katie wanted to run for class president. She didn't have a prayer. She's going up against this one boy who is, he's the cat's meow, right? He's going to win. He's got all the parents in his back pocket. Everything's going to work. And I said, "Oh, no, I got caught years ago with the Kaya doll incident. No, no. Katie, you're going to win." Well, it was a lot of hard work. Campaigning, trying to make good choices, talking to people, coming up with great candidates. Katie won class president. Yes, good job. The art of possibility. That's what we need to teach our kids. All things are possible with God. I've become a big champion of letting them know you can. with God, it's possible. I don't know what God's going to bring about, but I just know it's possible. My son Cody had a dream. His dream was to play football. Now, this was really going to be a tough one because he wanted to play high school football. He had had concussions in soccer, so there was a lot working against him. But I kept whispering in his ear, it's possible. It's possible. Might happen with God. And he had plenty of people whispering in the other ear, no way. Not going to happen. Can't happen. Didn't play down at the smaller level. Never going to get on a team. Even if you do get to play, you won't even get on the field. All kinds of that. Little by little, I kept whispering in his ear, it's possible. Anything's possible with God. And halfway through this past season, Cody was starting at linebacker for the Belvedere Cedars. It is possible. And you want to teach your kids the art of possibility. It's what they have to have in their quiver to get their dreams moving forward. A positive parenting skill. Number four, be a parent a child wants to be around. I put a scripture verse there how they begged Paul to stay when he was visiting. You can look at that at home. I want to give you a line here by Dennis Rainey. This is a famous line. I think it's at the top of your outline. It's this. Your success as a parent hinges on developing a positive relationship with your children. Your success as a parent hinges on developing a positive relationship with your children. Gang, this truth is one that, again, kind of reaches over all of our parenting. You must be someone that your child wants to go to. You must be someone that your child wants to talk to when they want to unpack their life and talk about it. We must, as parents, be someone a child views as helpful and supportive and encouraging. There are basically three kinds. I didn't put this on your outline. There are three kinds of people that we're going to run into in life, gang. Okay, as far as our inner batteries, there's three types of people. The first are battery drainers. You can write that down. Battery drainers. You're going to run into people who drain your batteries, who need a lot of effort, who need a lot of time, who no matter when you're around them, you come away from that thing feeling, whew, okay, that's all right. That's good. I can do ministry. I know how to. You're going to run into battery drainers, okay? You're also going to run into battery maintainers, kind of people that when you're with doesn't really drain you, doesn't have a big effect on you, just being around them, kind of peers. You're going to be around them. But then there's the third group of people you're going to be around, and those are the battery chargers. Those are the people who, when you're around them, they make you more excited. The ones that teach you about the art of possibility. The ones that make you say, yeah, I can. The ones that say that when you leave them, you're up. You're saying, wow, I'm better off now than when I was before I spent time with that person. Battery chargers are huge. We're going to be around all three of those type of people in our life. But you run into problems when you are not around battery chargers enough. When you spend too much time with battery drainers. There has to be a balance. As parents now, we need to be battery chargers for our kids. We need to be the ones that the kids say, when I speak to my parents, then I understand things better. I feel better about things. I understand more. I'm more up. I get insight. And I get encouragement. Battery chargers. Kids, parents who fill our kids' gas tanks instead of drain them. We need to be parents who tell our kids encouragements and helps. Okay, this is on the positive side. Great job on that paper. Good work. You did good. Your hair looks beautiful tonight. Hey, what's going on with your friend? Let me help out with that. Or, man, you are the best at that video game. Right? I'm proud of you. I love spending time with you. What are you thinking about? What's on your mind right now? Hey, you know what? Let's go do something together. What child doesn't want to hear those things or want to be around a parent like that? Our men's group was blown away in the book that we've been reading, and I want to read you this story because I think it helps make a lot of sense on what we're talking about here. A young lady wrote in, she said, when we were little, we lived in a small house right in the city. The neighborhood wasn't that great, but I loved my life. And my dad, he was a happy dad. When he was home from work, we'd all play. It was so much fun to be around him. When I was 11, my dad wanted to provide a better future for us. And rather than just picking another house and moving out of the city, he decided to have a special home built. Since we didn't have tons of money, he knew he'd have to do a lot of the work himself. He said, we were worth it. Unfortunately, he didn't realize what all the extra stress and pressure would do, not just to him, but to us. The stress of juggling everything began to wear on my dad and wear him down. We lost happy dad and instead found grumpy dad. He stopped playing with us so much, and he was just on edge a lot, not relaxed and not fun. I now know that he was sacrificing himself to provide a better future for us kids, but we wanted him much more than we wanted the new house or better school. We just wanted happy dad back. Parenting skill number 4 is be a parent a child wants to be around. Number 5, teach your children how to fast forward. I'll get into explaining fully what that means, but let me give you another one of Dennis Rainey's big truths here. Children need love and guidance. They need both. Children need love and guidance. It's going to come into play here when we look at number 5. As much as I am very positive with my kids, and I am very positive with my kids, and I'm very fun to be around, aren't I? Yes, she said yes. I also have to correct my kids. I also have to discipline them, and I have to instruct them. Because children need love, but they also need guidance. And I put the love before the guidance, gang. I like it in that statement. John Maxwell said it best, I believe, years ago when he said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Well, we talked last week about shepherding a child's heart. We talked about that. I'm not going to restate here what that is, but it is pivotal to the correction phase and the discipline phase and the instruction phase. You have to have shepherd a child's heart. They have to know you love them. I encourage you to listen to those messages from the past several weeks. And along the line of shepherding a child's heart, we must teach children how to fast forward their decision-making, actions, and choices. Now, Pastor Scott talked a little bit about this in an amazing way in his message 3 weeks ago. I referred his message to people many, many times talking about it. We need to walk our children through the looking glass and into the future to see how the decisions they're making and the choices they're doing will play out down the road. They need to think forward, wind the tape forward and look forward. Proverbs 13:16 says this, wise people think before they act. Fools don't. And they even brag about their foolishness. Now, I have been doing this whole number 5, teaching my children to fast forward very ferociously, especially with my 17-year-old right now, because I know time's getting short. And so is the schooling. There's not that many more weeks left this year, and then there's only one more year. So I'm trying to teach my 17-year-old, stay focused. You only have 2 more tries at SATs. You can do it. I believe in you. It's possible. You have seen some of the schools that you're dreaming about going to. She set foot on the campus at Duke, set foot on the campuses in Nashville. You see what the future holds, and there are decisions that you're making now that are going to have an impact on what's coming in just, if you wait, wind the tape forward. Decisions you are making now are the path to get to that destination. So you don't achieve success and switch over to a road when you get to your destination. Look forward, because the road you want to get onto is the one you're standing on right now. it's just going to have a lot of decisions leading you forward to stay on it and to get there. Teach your kids to think fast forward and to forward the future. Stuff that children put on the internet can affect their future. I couldn't believe it. I talked to an HR person this past month. I talked to an HR person, and she told me that she has someone on her staff who uses Facebook and Twitter to determine a person who's coming with an application. They use Facebook and Twitter to determine that, to help determine that applicant's emotional health. They use that stuff to find out the intellect of that person. And they're over, and meanwhile, we got people putting every thought that comes to their mind on the internet. It doesn't go away, does it? It stays there. You have to learn to fast forward. Think about that before you start hitting those keys and hit send and put enter, and that thing's up on the internet. Fast forward your thinking. People that children involve themselves with will forever be on the pages of their life's book. Forever. Teach them to think about that. We must teach our children to think now for what tomorrow will hold. That's parenting skill number 5. Number 6, very practical here. Speak your child's love language. Ephesians 4:15, you can look that up at home. This again comes under the truth, your success as a parent hinges on developing a positive relationship with your children. You can buy this book, The 5 Love Languages. They have the 5 love languages as the book. They have the 5 love languages of a teen. They have the 5 love languages of a child. It doesn't matter. Get them and learn them. I'm going to show you them quickly because it's so important. Each and every one of us is wired to receive love and to give out love in one of 5 paths. And they call it a language because that's how they're speaking love. And if you want to get through to your child, you have to speak their language. Number 1 type of language, acts of service. There are kids who will show you that they love you and express love by doing things for you. Washing the car, doing the dishes. Any kind of act of service is how they're saying, I love you. And in the same way, if you want to speak love to them, acts of service is what makes them feel loved. That's the first one. The second, gift giving. There are kids who their love language is to give you a gift, to go out and find you the perfect flower in the front yard that's really a dandelion, and they bring you that. But that's their way of expressing love, making you a picture. And if you're going to get through to your child, you have to speak their language of love. Third, ample time. There are children out there whose love language is time spent with you. They don't need to go anywhere. They don't need to do anything. They just want to be with you. That makes them feel loved. That's how they will express love, wanting to be with you. If that's what your child's love language is, you need to engage that so that they will feel love from you. Number 4, physical touch. Kids who are always hanging on you. Kids who are always holding your hand, who want to sit next to you and have their shoulder touching you. These are kids who feel love through physical touch. And that's what you have to speak back to them to make them feel loved. Last one, encouraging words. These are kids who feel that they are loved when you let them know through words how awesome they are, what they have done, how you can say, good job, that paper was awesome, things we talked about before. All those things that are through encouraging words, saying to them, I love you. When you speak kindly to them and tell them that they're great at what they're doing and that you're proud of them and that they look nice and that they're doing good things, these are ways to express love to an encouraging words young person. And they will do the same to you to express their love. If you want to be a good parent, you must know your child's love language. Because if you try to speak to an ample time kid, like we saw in the drama, maybe that kid's love language is ample time, wanting to spend time with his father. But instead, his father's love language is gift giving and sends the kids gifts as he travels the world with work. The kid will never feel loved. He wanted time. Instead, he got a bunch of stuff. That might have worked for a gift-giving child, but it isn't going to work for the ample time child. Another big, big point when it comes to the love languages is that the bizarro world love languages, the flip side, are just as powerful. If you do the opposite of the love language to a child, it will convey you don't love them. I mean this, if your child's love language is encouraging words and you speak discouraging words to them, what they hear is, I don't love you. If your child's love language is ample time and you don't spend time with them, it's not that they don't feel loved, they feel worse than that. They feel they're not loved, that you're communicating you don't love them. So, if we're going to be parents who get it right, we have to understand our child's love language. All right, I know that was a lot to cover in one statement, but you can get the book and read it. It's very powerful. Number 7, teach your children to be others-centered. Trying to move a heart from selfishness to selflessness is a tough job. We've all been around the gimme, that's mine child. We've all seen the take the best for yourself person. And yet, I'm going to tell you, as I spend time around our young people in this church, I am incredibly pleased with what I am seeing in the young people in this church. The stuff we're talking about here isn't just being talked about tonight for the first time. West Virginians have been trying for 9.5 years here to do what God has called us to do, and I see it paying off in your children. I will tell you about one young lady in the church, not my young lady, a young lady in the church, and what I saw that blew me away. One of our kids from Fuel was here, and I had been told by a family that they were going to bring their young girl, a teenager, to church. This young teenage girl who was going to get brought by these parents did not want to come. Did not want to come to church. Did not want to know God. Did not want to hear the Bible. Doesn't want to hear some fireman up front yapping for a half hour. Didn't want anything to do with it. But this mom told me, I'm bringing my daughter to church. Okay. Well, it happened one Saturday night. Here they come in right through the back. And one of our young girls from Fuel, I didn't ask her to do it, went right back there, and I started following in tow so I could see what was happening, kind of acting like I was going to go talk to Joel, but I was actually listening in. Our young girl from Fuel went right up to that girl and welcomed her just as kindly and as nicely as I've ever heard, and tried to get that girl welcomed and ushered into meeting her friends. Well, that girl who showed up that night with her mother turned her back and snubbed that West Virginian girl as bad as I've ever seen, as rude as could be. I thought, oh man, what a shame. Well, our little West Virginian girl bounced away, and I guess that was what it was. Now, I'm not super close with our West Virginian girl who did the kind welcome. But after service, after I got done up here, I ran to her. I tracked her down, and I thanked her. I told her what I saw, and I thanked her for her others-centeredness. And I apologized to her. I apologized for the boorish behavior that she had been met with, the unkind offense towards her efforts. And to my surprise, this West Virginian girl just smiled up at me and said, oh, Pastor, that's nothing. I'm still going to be nice to everybody I meet, no matter what I get back. And I said, well, thank you. It is very nice serving alongside you, soldier. Parents, I've found that if you want a selfish child, the recipe for a selfish child is do nothing. You'll get one. But if you want a selfless child, the recipe is very long on ingredients. I'm talking about a whole bunch already, and it's very time-consuming to bake up a selfless child. But I have seen parents do it here at Westbridge, and I applaud you for it. Our last parenting skill for tonight, number 8, show them wholesome fun, Proverbs 14:12. Gang, one of the things Christians have been kind of in the back of the pack with is the infusion of exuberance and exhilaration in life. Christians have been notorious in the past for poo-pooing things. Christians have been very, very good at saying no to just about everything. Now, that seems to have changed quite a bit in the 20th century. Christianity had good, clean, wholesome alternatives starting to emerge in the church. And these things were being embraced by the church. Contemporary music that was once banned to the Christian was now commandeered by Christianity and used for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Artists who had no outlet to use their gift in the church were now offered the opportunity to use their gift in Christian ministry. Young people and youth activities were ignited by exciting new ways to learn God's word, and wholesome activities and practices were championed by church leaders. Parenting has to move in the same direction as well. It is a very fine line, gang, to walk, and a delicate balance of determining what is positive and what is negative for a child. In the past, the church used to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and fun and excitement was basically not available to the God follower. So guess what? People left and found their fun where they shouldn't. Well, I gotta say, that did change quite a bit. I've seen it change. Today, the pendulum has almost swung too far the other way. Now we have to return to the balance of steering our children to not so much the fun side of wholesome fun, but to the wholesome side of wholesome fun. Young ladies can be parented that fashion is fine. Fashion is fun and exciting, but you gotta keep it appropriate. You gotta keep it modest. Young ladies can be parented that socializing is great, but keep a balance of how much time you're interacting with people and what you're talking about. Young ladies can be parented that life is designed to be thrilling and stimulating. But not if the door to that is through drinking and drugs. And young men, they can be parented too. Young men can be parented that Christians are allowed to be cool. But make sure that your coolness includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. Young men can be parented that wholesome fun when it comes to sexuality is something that God absolutely gives mankind. But it is a delayed gratification that will bring that about. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament who had to wait 7 years to marry the love of his life, Rachel? Parents, teach boys to keep the balance of being wholesome and pure in their interactions with girls. And they will see that God's design is best and that wholesome fun in sexuality is something that God gives us in ever-increasing levels. Levels that are good for us and levels that bring the most lasting commitments inside marriage. Well, parents, we've got our work cut out for us. But I, for one, am very encouraged by the growth that we have already made as a church family. But we have to be diligent. We have to finish well. Parenting a child hard for 10 years and then giving up is tragic. Parenting a child for 13 years and then getting too tired to deal with them is not enough. We have to finish the job that we chose. And then the payoff will be kabed, honor. Our children honoring God and our children honoring us with a life that changes the world and earns the judgment from God's lips of, well done, good and faithful servant. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight and to look further into Ephesians 6:4, that we can get a better handle and practical information from other places in the Bible on how we can parent well. Lord, I thank you that you are the ultimate Father. You are the one who loves us and is always right. And I pray that you would help us engage that. And help us, Lord, as we move forward and try to teach our kids. Help us to model the things that we want to see our kids doing. To model the positive, wholesome life that you've called us to. And Lord, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make us what you call us to be. Followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us as we head out these doors. Be with us, Lord, through the weekdays. And I pray that each of us would have a greater understanding of what you've called us to and be diligent to finish the work that you've given us. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 o'clock.
I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. I don't know. I thought you had a meeting. I don't know. I have the trailer, so.